Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, as I said in my witty tease, we don't do playoffs in Toronto.
No.
But we do talk about playoffs.
It's early.
This is Baseball Central at noon, brought to you by Home Hardware. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure for at least another couple of days until we turn it over to Hockey Central at noon.
Mm.
And then I'll just be doing my show from 9 to 12. I don't know what you're going to be doing. I'll have you on my show.
For what reason?
To make me happy.
I've been trying to do that since I've been on this show, and it hasn't worked.
It has worked. I'm a little excited today. We got playoff baseball, Kansas City Royals and the Oakland Athletics. Big game, James Shields. Big game, James, who's 2-4, 4.98 in the postseason. Who the hell called him Big Game James?
It's a pretty good name.
But it doesn't appear to...
I think it's the bulldog mentality. I think that's why it is.
I think it is. He'll be going up against John Lester, who is a big game John. Pretty much money in the bank when it comes to the postseason. And, he has the best ERA against the Kansas City Royals of any starting pitcher with 75 career innings. That's career. Against the Kansas City Royals. He's got some tremendous numbers against their best hitters. Kevin Barker, clearly then I am being accurate when I boldly predict an Oakland Athletics win tonight. Is there any doubt that the A's beat the Royals?
I think there's a lot of doubt, yes.
Oh, man.
Well, there's numerous reasons why that is. I mean, KC's got one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball, not only American League, but Major League Baseball. They steal a lot of bases, meaning probably the two guys you just mentioned, meaning the bullpens and the guys coming off the bench are going to win this game for either team.
Mm.
And when speed, these games, playoffs, meaning you have to manufacture runs, meanings when guys get on base, Kansas City, they're going to run. They're just going to run until they can't run anymore. And when Oakland is one of the worst defensive teams in Major League Baseball, well, playoffs, defense, and pitching wins. And Oakland obviously has half of that whip, but the other half, meaning you don't beat yourself in big games. It just, you know, I think if it was in Oakland, I would be on board with you. But since it's in KC and with those things I just said, defensive-wise, and I just don't think it's and Oakland's not playing very well. Let's face it, I think they're 10 and 16 their last 26 games. That's not very good. They're kind of falling into the playoffs, which is never a good thing.
No, and a lot has been talked about the way the Athletics offense went south after the Jonas Cespedes deal. One of the things that hasn't been talked about enough, a lot of people talked about Derek Norris and Brandon Moss. Coco Crisp, their leadoff hitter, the guy who was a catalyst for that team, even with Jonas Cespedes there, his on-base percentage since the All-Star break is .272. I mean, Oakland is just, they have fallen off the face of the earth offensively. Neither one of these teams really score a ton of runs. Neither one of these teams really scored a ton of runs down the stretch. But, Kevin, the one thing I will agree with you on, you get the sense that Kansas City feels as if they earned the right to be in the wild card, whereas Oakland is settling for the wild card. You know as well as I do, when Billy Bean added John Lester, he was getting them for the playoffs, but he wasn't getting them for the one-game wild card. He was looking ahead to the ALDS and the ALCS. So there are two teams that will be approaching this. No doubt they'll be approaching this with a different mindset.
Well, yeah, but I think playoffs, you have to do the little things. I know you hate to talk about manufacturing runs, but Kansas City doesn't hit the home run ball. I think they're the first team in a long time to make a playoff game without hitting 100 home runs. I think they've got 95 this year.
That's 95, yeah.
That's not a lot of home runs. So what they do, they steal a lot of bases. They get on base, and they put pressure on defenses. And when Oakland's not, I think they're second to last in errors in Major League Baseball behind Cleveland with 111. That's a lot of errors. That's beating yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you're on top of things, you're not hitting and you're not scoring runs. You have to keep the other team from doing that and not beat yourself. I think Oakland has a lot of bad things going for themselves, and KC has a lot of good things going for themselves. And this is why they brought James Shields to KC, was for this game, mm-hmm. to get them to a 5- and a 7-game series. And when you get to a 5- and 7-game series, anybody can win.
We will have that game, by the way. We will have tonight's game, I should say, on Sportsnet Ontario at 7:30. We'll have the game if you're in Toronto on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike Wilner will have a special pregame show. It is the AL wildcard. The NL wildcard goes tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Rex Hudler, the color analyst on the Kansas City Royals telecast, will join us later on in the show to discuss today's game. And Jonah Carey, in just a few minutes, from Grantland, one of our favorites, he will join us as well. Kevin, when you talk about a one-game playoff, it seems to me that maybe more than any other sport, the playoffs are kind of, it's a foreign mindset for a baseball player. All we hear baseball players talk about, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 162-game marathon. Well, guess what? For Kansas City and Oakland, it's a sprint now. Tonight's a sprint. Talk to me a little bit about, because baseball's such a sport of sitting back and thinking and planning and plotting and strategy and matchups and all that stuff, talk to me a little bit about the emotion of a playoff and how that factors into a baseball player's thinking.
Well, it's going to be very tough for both of these teams. I think it's going to be more tough for KC just because they haven't been there in forever. Most of their team is young. They're more of a, go out and just give it everything you got kind of team. And Oakland, I think, is not so much that team, meaning they don't go out and try hard, meaning more of they let the game sort of come to them. And when you do, you can't, what I'm trying to make the point is, in this game, you can't do that. But it gets back to the point, too, the two guys that are starting the game, and John Lester and James Shields, they're going to make the game, I think, easy for both teams and both managers, meaning that they're going to throw a lot of strikes. They're going to come after guys. There's probably not going to be a lot of guys on base. KC's going to figure out how to get guys on base. They're going to have to do the little things. When Oakland is more of a run into a home run kind of guy, hit the double, not so much bunt a guy over as in needing more than one hit an inning to get a guy on base, get a guy in. So it's going to be different to see how each manager goes about things, because Ned Yost, let's face it, has one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball. So he's thinking, if James Shields can get me to the seventh inning with the lead, I've got the game. The game's mine. Because, I mean, you're looking at the stats yesterday, or I was, and you're seeing Herrera, Davis, and Holland in the back end of your bullpen that has a combined 1.28 ERA from the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And I think they got somewhere in the range of 250 strikeouts between the three guys. That's crazy. So if you can get to those three innings, KC's going to be tough to beat. But again, they have to get there. They have to get to John Lester early, because if he gets in a groove and he starts throwing fastballs in, and he starts, because he loves throwing in.
Yeah.
And especially when you're facing a young team that's very aggressive, and let's face it, it's going to be a little bit tighter, I think, than Oakland's team. They're going to start swinging at pitches probably they don't normally swing at, and they're going to start trying to do things that they normally don't try to do, and it feeds into the approach that John Lester's going to have. I'm going to let you get yourself out.
Right.
And then I'm going to get in a groove, and before you know it, it's the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and it's nothing. And, you know, I just think the longer this game goes with Oakland being ahead or being tied, I think it just gives Oakland the advantage.
We had a conversation with Vince Catronio on my show before he came on. He's the Oakland A's radio analyst. And I asked him, I said, at any point during September, as this season wound to a close, Did you or the people around the Athletics ever get a sense that, okay, we've reached the turning point. This is going to stop. It can't go on.
Mm-hmm.
He said no. Which yeah. is, you know, and usually, I mean, club announcers, club broadcasters, I mean, I think they're optimists by nature. I mean, I think they have to be. But he was very clear. He said no. At no point was there something that happened that we said, okay, now they turn the corner. And he made a point. And he said he doesn't think that the Athletics won more than two games or maybe in the entire month of September back-to-back. Yeah, they never put even a little run together. That's kind of a frightening thought to go into this playoff.
Well, baseball's like no other sport, I think, in the aspect of it's a sort of a game that you've done the last 2 weeks, not a game as it's day by day, because it's a building thing. You have to build on what you've done good a week in advance to lead up to, you know, what I'm saying is you want to hit the playoffs on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. Like a team like the Nationals. Washington Nationals are doing everything right. They're pitching great. They're doing everything. They're going to fall into the playoffs on a roll. Oakland is just the opposite of that. They're doing everything, you know, they're doing just enough to try to win games to get in the playoffs instead of doing everything to gain momentum when they do get in the playoffs. So it's like I said, it's going to be real tough for me just by looking at stats, because, you know, as of right now, you have to look at stats on who you think you may pick to win a one game series. And right now, to me, you have to look at KC just of where, mainly because it's in KC, that place is going to be going absolutely crazy. And
does that make a difference in baseball? I'm glad you're here. Somebody who's played,
mm-hmm.
you're playing in front of a big crowd, a hostile crowd. Does that make a difference?
I think so. I think as more of, you know, it's every play means something, from the first pitch till the last pitch. But if you're home team and you make an error early in the game, it's really not that big of a deal. It's not like you're going to get booed or, you know, it's going to be that much harder to catch the next ground ball. But if a guy does that, say, in the outfield and makes an error on the opposing team like Oakland tonight, the fans are going to be all over that guy. So it's not only going to affect him on defense, but he's going to carry that to the offensive side. So I think just by saying the two different kinds of teams, Oakland's, I think, is not going to be that big of a deal to them, but just because they're a veteran team, they've been around, and John Lester's pitching. He's mm-hmm. been there, done it. He's been in big spots. He's won a World Series. He's done everything you can pitch in, but they still have to score runs. How do they score runs? How do they get James Shields early in a game to get KC on the defensive side, meaning they have to do things that outside of norm because they're not going to hit the home run ball. So
mm-hmm.
they have to figure out some way to do all of these things. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be fun to watch, because the only time I've ever experienced this is winter ball. When I was in Dominican Republic and you get in the playoffs there and you're trying to go to the Caribbean World Series, and that is just crazy. You can't even hear yourself talk.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hear yourself. You know, I was playing first base a lot. You couldn't even hear yourself. I was trying to yell at a second baseman to come closer, or you got the ball. You couldn't say that. You'd have to give him some kind of hand signal. And it's just, it adds a different element to the game. You can say what you want, but that's why everybody wants to get home field advantage. They want to get that 12th man. And I think KC, to me, just has the advantage on that part of this game.
It is Baseball Central at noon. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Jonah Carey of Grantland will join us in a few minutes. We are taking a look ahead to tonight's AL wildcard mm-hmm. game. 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario, the Oakland A's and the Kansas City Royals from Kauffman Stadium. Tomorrow night, the National League wildcard game goes. A game I think we're both really looking forward to, San Francisco and the Pittsburgh Pirates. But we'll continue our focus right now on the American League.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Billy Bean regrets making that deal now? Lester.
I think he feels like that if he can get past this game.
We need to ask that tomorrow, don't we?
I think so. I think if they get past this game, I think they're going to be tough to beat, because then you have to go to Oakland. You're going to have to go play some games there, and that place is tough to play in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard place for a visiting player to come in and and have a good game, have a good game plan. You have to be fundamentally sound. And
I'll tell you what, we don't know we don't know the schedule yet. We don't know the start times, but I don't know if there's another ballpark in baseball where shadows play as much of a role as they do in Oakland.
But I will say this. I think we forgot to mention a guy for Oakland. Adam Dunn is going to be a big deal, I think, to this game because he's a presence. He's something that James Shields, he's got to worry about him is what I mean. Even if he doesn't get a hit, he has to worry about him because every time he swings the bat, he could hit a home run. So it's going to be playoffs. This one game is going to be like no other game we've watched all year. Just the aspect of every pitch, every time a catcher puts a finger down, it means something.
The one thing to keep in mind, too, is as good as the Royals' bullpen has been, they're a right-hand heavy bullpen.
They are.
But
they throw hard.
They throw hard.
Adam Dunn's having trouble hitting the heater.
Yeah, he is. But, there are some left-handed bats that the Athletics have available to them. Although it's interesting. The Athletics and Jonah Carey is going to join us, and I'm going to ask Jonah this question because I think one of the strengths we've talked about all year long has been, was certainly when Oakland was winning, Bob Melvin's ability to use a lot of platoons and their ability to get a lot of advantages in terms of matchups. And I wonder if that still holds true after the type of finish that the Athletics had. We are joined at this time in Baseball Central at noon by Jonah Carey of Grantland. Good morning or good afternoon, Mr. Carey.
How's it going?
It's going well. We're looking forward to some baseball tonight, some one-game elimination playoff baseball. Is anybody going to be cheering for Oakland, do you think?
Sure. People in the Bay Area, probably. I mean, the thing is, the A's are not the big bad villains. It's not like the Royals are playing the Yankees. The A's have a small payroll, and, they themselves have a bit of a World Series drought, too. I mean, obviously the Royals have the 29-year playoff drought, but if we're talking World Series, the A's are almost as long out in the wilderness as the Royals are.
It would seem to me that whereas the Royals are probably thinking, this is great, we gained the wild card spot, the Athletics are probably going, oh man, we really didn't sign on for this. We thought that John Lester would be pitching in game one of the ALDS. At this point, is there any concern at all, do you think, with the Athletics' mindset? I mean, they did not have a good September. They weren't able to string any wins together. I mean, we know about the offensive numbers in September. Is there any concern at all in your part that the Athletics, you know, may not be able to sort of flick that switch and go into playoff mode?
I am excited because I have a perfect two-pronged answer for you.
Beautiful.
Perfect. So number one, I had just today on Grantland.com put up a podcast, a two-hour podcast with 10 guests, one for each playoff team. So lots of good stuff there. And Jane Lee, who is a writer for MLB.com, very good writer, I asked her that same question about the mindset, and she's in the clubhouse every day. I'm guessing she's there.
Yep.
And she said, absolutely not. The champagne washed it all away, and in their minds, they're loose, they're happy, they're excited, and they're going to go play, and it's like anything else. That's number one. That's the psychological element. Number two, we could look at what actually happened. I'm the stats guy. I'm not the emotional guy, so I can bring that angle. Well, Neil Payne and I, for 538.com, 538 is a sister site of ESPN and Grantland, looked at this. We went back to 1969. We looked at every single playoff team. Do playoff teams who back in, who lose on their way in or whatever, fare worse than other teams once we adjust for all the other variables? The answer is no. Momentum means nothing. If you're hot, it means nothing. If you're cold, it means nothing. The only thing we could find is if you have a better record. If you're a 100-win team, you're more likely to win the World Series than if you're an 88-win team. But beyond that, no. So the answer to your question seems to be no. There shouldn't be a problem. They'll be fine. Lester's a phenomenal pitcher. And obviously tough matchup. James Shields is very good. The Royals are certainly a very good team as well. But I would not say that the A's are at a disadvantage here necessarily. In fact, if they can get by this one-game tiebreak, which is always a tough one, then I give them just about as good a chance as any AL contender. I don't see any one team in the AL that strikes me as a loss for the World Series. I think Oakland can hang with any of them.
Yeah, Jonah, is there an X factor on Kansas City's team against John Lester? I know John Lester has a track record in the playoffs. Is there an X factor against scoring runs for KC against John Lester?
The Kansas City Royals are the first team in the history of baseball, 150 years of baseball, to be last in the league in home runs and last in the league in walks and make the playoffs. So the answer is no. There is no expectation. These guys can't hit at all. They're terrible offensively. But they're machines when it comes to run prevention. They're really, really, really good at that. So what the Royals are going to try to do is obviously, you know, keep the score down. Shields can turn it over to that formidable bullpen. And then the way the Royals play is, they, you know, they pretty much don't, like I said, no walks, no homers, but they could scratch out some singles and maybe try to steal bases and steal a run or two that way. Very much like a poor man's version of Whitey Ball in the 80s, if you remember those San Francisco Cardinals games. The goal is to win all these games 2-1. And, you know, that could be a bit of a pressure cooker against opponents. Even with a weak offense, a lot of 2-1 games could go either way. So if the Royals are playing a team that's theoretically better on paper, once you get into a one-run game, anything can happen.
Jonah, one of the things the Athletics have done all year, and they've done for a while actually under Billy Beane, is they've sort of enjoyed platoon advantages. They've worked platoon advantages to their favor. Is in a one game playoff, does that matter that much? Does that change what Bob Melvin has to do today? I mean, I've got to assume he's going to run out a lot of left handed hitters against James Shields, and Kansas City has largely, I believe, a right hand heavy bullpen.
Yeah.
Do you see that being a factor in this at all?
I think it could absolutely be a factor. Not only does Kansas City have a dominantly right-handed bullpen, and they added Yordano Ventura, who's another righty,
right,
and they didn't go with Bueno, who's probably their best lefty, so they're really going to be thin with left-handers in the bullpen. So I think that's one. And two, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. But Ned Yost, at the very least during the regular season, is just about the least creative manager that there is.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he's a terrible manager. It just means that he very much manages by rote. And we've seen this. There was a couple situations this year where they were in the sixth inning and they were in a big, big jam and they needed to get a big out. And they wouldn't, not only would they not go to Greg Holland, their closer, fine, okay, I can go with that. They wouldn't go with Wade Davis, who's quote-unquote their eighth inning guy. And they wouldn't even go with Kelvin Herrera, who's their seventh inning guy. They would go with Aaron Crow, who sucks, basically. So
mm-hmm.
That's a big problem. You can't go with a crappy pitcher just because it's not the seventh, eighth, or ninth. Maybe he changes things because it's a do-or-die situation, but I have to be sold on this. Melvin for sure will get creative, and if Lester's struggling a little bit, I could see him bringing in a relief pitcher literally in the fourth inning. Wouldn't surprise me. With Yost, I think he's going to go Shields as long as possible, and those three relievers, seventh, eighth, ninth, almost immutably so. And if that happens, you know, I think Oakland does have an edge, at least when it comes to tactics.
When you take a look at the National League wildcard, when you take a look at tomorrow's game, fascinating matchup, a couple of teams that for a lot of people have sentimental attachments to both teams. I'll just be flat out. I mean, I'm cheering for the Pirates. I'd love to see the Pirates win the World Series. I wouldn't mind seeing the Nationals, although for a different reason. But I'd love to see the Pirates win the World Series. I also like the Giants. It you know, when you look at that at that matchup, where do you see the odds? Who do you see the odds favoring there? Who in that one game playoff? Who do you see as being the favorite?
You know, I mean, I'll give you my answer, but I will just put it in a proviso and say that it's obviously the case that in one game, literally, a meteor could strike the second base
sure.
and that could decide the game. We don't know. Having said that, Pittsburgh's at a little bit of a disadvantage. It's only because they used their best two starting pitchers over the weekend. They were mm-hmm. trying to win the division, which was a bit of a long shot, but they went for it. They used Liriano and Cole. Didn't work out. They're going with Edinson Volquez. Edinson Volquez is a 3.07 ERA, so by that standard, he looks good. But his last seven starts, when he really got hot and improved his stats, he was facing a bunch of, just coincidentally, passy offenses, terrible. And he had 71 walks and led the league in wild pitches. And he's always been a terrible command guy. It's always been a big issue. And so, you know, that's a toughie because you look at it and you say, all right, they're going with their third or fourth best pitcher. And this is not, they can't play the Cubs anymore. You know, this is not an easy team to roll over. They got to deal with Pence and Posey and Sandoval and all those guys. So if I'm going Madison Bumgarner, clear number one guy for San Francisco versus Volquez, on that alone, even in Pittsburgh, even with the game in Pittsburgh, I have to give at least a little bit of an edge to the Giants.
Yeah, how big is Russell Martin to Pittsburgh? I know he's maybe hurt, but with what you just said on the pitching staff, it seems to me like that's a big deal, having your leader putting the right fingers down. Is that what you're seeing?
Oh, I love Martin. I think he's made a big difference with that staff. You know, it's interesting with the Pirates. If you look at their rotation, beyond Liriano and Cole, there's just not that much raw talent. Volquez and Jeff Locke and Vance Worley and Charlie Morton. These are, you know, just proverbial fourth and fifth starter types. But I think the combination of the fact that they shift a lot, they do a really good job on defense. And as you said, Martin being really good. Not only putting the right fingers down, knows when to put an arm around the guy, frames pitches really well. We can actually quantify that stuff now that it's 20-handed set that we are. And he's just been phenomenal. And, by the way, 400 on base percentage this year. I mean, he's hitting like Joe Mauer and catching like, I don't know, Pete Gary Carter. That seems pretty, pretty good to me. And, you know, for people who have MVP ballots out there, I have a Rookie of the Year ballot but not MVP. I would hope that they'd give Martin some attention. I don't think he's the most valuable player in the National League this year, but I think top 10 is certainly within range given what he means to that team. Absolutely.
Speaking of MVP, it's probably a pretty clear-cut, I hope it's a pretty clear-cut case in the American League. What's going to happen in the National League? Do you think Clayton Kershaw is going to pull off the double here?
I have to tell you, you know, I'm friends with a bunch of writers and beat writers, and G-Chat has been lighting up over the last couple of days. We're all exchanging notes. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? As I said, I only have Rookie of the Year, and I just filed my ballot literally 10 minutes ago, but I was, you know, kind of thinking about it. And with MVP, it was a tough one, and some people who do have ballots said, what do you think? And I honestly told them, I think you should vote for Kershaw. You know, if you – and here's the thing. Kershaw missed a fair amount of time at the beginning of the season. He would be the first Cy Young winner in the history of baseball who's a starting pitcher and threw fewer than 200 innings in a non-strike year. So that would be pretty impressive, and it would be something. But it also happens to be one of the best seasons by anybody ever for a pitcher. He's been unbelievable. So I think that if McCutchen and Stanton, who I would argue are probably the second and third, whatever order you want, best players in the league this year, if they didn't get hurt, if the playing time wasn't equalized in that way, I think the decision would be tougher. But Stanton suffering the season-ending injury and Kutch spending 2 weeks on the DL, that to me made the decision easier. Because just in terms of performance, it's Kershaw. So if it was Kershaw against 162 games of, let's say, Andrew McCutchen, I really have to think about it. Against 145 games, I think Kershaw should win, and I hope he wins comfortably. I think he deserves it.
Jonah Carey of Grantland joins us in Baseball Central at noon. All right, I'm going to do something very dangerous. I'm going to ask you to play Alex Anthopoulos. Montreal are asking you to play another Montreal.
Bill Saint-Laurent, very close. Yeah.
Exactly. So Alex Anthopoulos said in his post-mortem that among the issues facing the team, the issue that he seemed to think really ultimately did the Jays in was their bullpen. And if we look at the Jays bullpen, they don't have a closer for next year. Casey Jansen's gone. There seems to be an indication they may not pick up Dustin McGowan's option. Basically, right now, you're looking at Todd Redman, Aaron Loop, Brett Cecil, and I'm missing somebody else. Maybe Aaron Sanchez as well, although they're talking about making him start. You're Alex Anthopoulos. You've got to put together the back end of a bullpen. How do you do that this offseason?
I have to tell you, bullpens are a weird thing. You know, you look at some of the long-term investments that teams make when they say, well, this guy is, quote-unquote, reliable. We're obviously going to pay the big money for him. And if you're a Blue Jays fan, I'm going to, you know, you can go near the loo if you wish, if you are feel a little bile in your throat. But the last time the Blue Jays made a really massive investment in a relief pitcher was a gentleman named B.J. Ryan. That was really one of the worst contracts in the last quarter century. It was unbelievably bad. B.J. Ryan could not stay, great pitcher coming in, could not stay healthy, was a disaster. That is often what happens with relief pitchers. Pitchers in general suffer from a lot of attrition and injuries, and relief pitching in particular is so volatile. If you just have a couple of outings where you get lit up, that's a 4 ERA at that point. You know, that can happen. It's just, it's one of those weird things. So, yes, I mean, it's tempting to go after whatever. I guess they could trade for 1 year or Papelbon if they want, or there's going to be a couple of free agents who'll be out on the market, and that's all fine and good. But I honestly think that the proper scouting and, you know, the proper risk-taking can build a good bullpen without spending a lot of money. Think of all the guys who were picked up on the cheap who just did so well. The Rays, famously, with Fernando Rodney. Fernando Rodney was a disaster before he went to Tampa Bay.
Right.
And then he became one of the five best closers in the league. Keith Bell used to be a cast-off. He was once in the San Diego bullpen. He goes to the Mets. San Diego wants him back. They get him for nothing, and he becomes an all-star. This happens all the time. The problem is you don't know who's going to click at which time, so this requires basically throwing a lot of spaghetti against the wall. You sign or trade for 15 guys, and you hope that three of them pan out. But I honestly think that they have bigger fish to fry. They're going to have to figure out what to do with left field, with Melky Cabrera being a free agent. They have some other weaknesses. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Brent Laurie's health. There's issues like that that they need to address. Such that even though bullpen is a big weakness, and intuitively you would want to throw money at the problem, I would not. I would just try to scout the heck out of it and hope I get lucky.
Jonah, it was good of you to do this today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jonah.
Jonah Carey of Grantland.com.
He sounds like he agrees with us. Aaron Sanchez should be the closer.
We didn't ask him. I don't think so. I think he's probably one of those guys. He's a bring in 15 arms, throw it against the wall guy. Which I look, right. I think that's what the Jays are going to try to do. I just think that they're going to find that the 15 arms they bring in, none of them are as good as Aaron Sanchez.
Well, that sounds to me like that's 15 arms somebody else doesn't want.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But, first, I could also be doing the Aaron Sanchez thing just because everybody else is going the other way and I feel like being a little different. I have been known to do that.
I'm not.
Go against the flow. I know you're committed to it.
I just think it makes sense. You have bigger issues on your team that matters more than that, and you already have it in-house. Makes sense to me, but.
Rex Hudler. I covered Rex Hudler when he was at the Montreal Expos. He is now the Kansas City Royals TV analyst. I imagine Rex gets excited about the sunrise. So I've got to think that Rex will be pretty worked up about the AL wildcard game, the Royals and the Athletics. Let's find out. Rex Hudler will join us when Baseball Central at Noon continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I won't bother. It's Baseball Central at Noon, brought to you by Home Hardware. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
It's getting crazy in here.
I don't know about that. That's because Tim and Sid are getting ready to come on.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
That's
scribbling.
Crazy.
Man, oh man, I got to stop doing that. We'll have the AL wildcard game, Oakland and Kansas City, tonight at 7:30.
I have a buddy that watches this show, and he says he hates watching you do that.
Watching me what?
Scribble like that.
I'm not scribbling. I'm making notes to myself.
Yeah.
Okay. I get nervous, you know. I got to do that. McCowan does the same thing.
Okay.
I think we should put together a book of my doodles. There's some of them are pretty.
Yeah.
Some of them are probably not to be seen in public.
Mm.
The Royals and the A's, as we said, will play tonight in the AL wildcard game. National League game goes tomorrow. Vince Catronio joined my show earlier to talk about the Athletics.
Picking Oakland.
Huh? I'm picking Oakland. I'm picking Johnny Lester. And Rex Hudler, who is the Kansas City Royals TV analyst, is about to join us and tell me why I'm wrong in picking Oakland.
I gave you three reasons already.
I know. I want to see. Rex, why am I wrong in picking Oakland to win tonight?
Jeff and Kevin, you're talking about two different ball clubs. However, both of them really not real heavy in the run-scoring department, especially the Oakland A's. They're having a hard time scoring runs, at least the whole second half of the season, where they have performed the poorest. The Royals, on the other hand, what Oakland has, though, guys, you know, they have a chance to take you deep. Donaldson, maybe their catcher, Fitz Moss, or somebody has a chance to go deep. What the Royals have that the Oakland A's don't, and no one else in baseball has, is speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you score runs in different ways. Home runs produce the runs, sure. We all know that. Those are more glamorous. But for the Royals, a chopper over the pitcher's head is a rally. Guy gets on first base. What does he do? He steals second. And then the next hitter doinks one over the shortstop's head or the second baseman's head, 1-0. And then when you pitch and you have three guys at the back end of your bullpen that are the best, and really we're talking historical numbers with Kelvin Herrera, Wade Davis, and Greg Holland, that game is over pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, they're going to get hit. Matter of fact, Wade Davis and Kelvin Herrera, they did give up a run this year. But neither one of them has given up a home run since last year. They went the whole year not being hit over the fence. So basically, you add those numbers up, a 1-2-run lead, game's over. Royals win. So, look, James Shields, I think there would be any team out there in baseball, if they had James Shields, would pitch him too. It's just going to be all about who can perform, who can get a job done. And also, the Royals, the way they defend, they catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great defense. They've taken more runs than any team by 27 runs at least, as FanGraphs and all those new technologies, you know, the new stuff, the new graphs, will tell you they've saved a lot of runs. So, look, pitching and defense and then timely hits. The Royals were second in timely hits all year behind Detroit Tigers. So they're average runners in scoring positions right there. So this team really is built to win. They're dangerous. They defend and they pitch. And so that's the whole key ingredients when it comes to postseason. However, the one-game playoff is just a crapshoot. You could bring in a college team here, and they could beat any other major league team in one baseball game. So you just never know what's going to happen, fellas. But I can tell you that the Royals, and John Lester, by the way, I've never seen him throw over to first base. He's not comfortable with his move, and he's facing the best, the speediest offensive team there is in the world. So if they get on base, a track meet's going to break out. And we saw the Royals score runs this year, guys, like I've never seen before in my 36 years of baseball, scoring two runs in the ninth inning without getting the ball to the infield. That's the kind of speed they have. They got a guy named Terrence Gore that they bring in to pinch run late in the game when they need a run or they're down a run or up a run. And it's an automatic bag. Not even mentioning Jerrod Dyson, who does the same thing. So this team has weapons that can impact ball games. Now, if they somehow find a way to get through this game here, the Angels are in trouble. And anybody else they play are too, because of those weapons I just mentioned, fellas. Now, you can go ahead and stay on the Oakland bandwagon if you want, but I like what the Royals can do, especially if they can get a lead.
Rex, now, just for the record, I'm picking KC to win tonight. But
I love that.
Yeah, but what
good
the
pick, Kevin?
Yeah, thanks. The
you're such a suck up.
Well, you know, I state the obvious. No, I think
you're not going to hurt my feelings, guys. Look, I'm a baseball lover. I just happen to work for the Royals.
But, go ahead, Kev.
I've been with so many different ball clubs, man. I really enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, Rex. So how big is the 12th man meeting the fans in KC going to be to an inexperienced team like Kansas City tonight?
Oh, guys, can I just tell you that last night I was a part of that 50-something thousand crowd at Arrowhead for Monday Night Football, and how they broke the decimal record, so they were the world's largest crowd, and it was impressive. There were some of the Royals players were there. They showed them on the Jumbotron. The place came down. But as loud as it was when I got home last night, I could barely hear myself. My head was ringing. This morning I woke up, my head was ringing. You know, it's almost hazardous to your health. But the fans, the passion that they have in Kansas City is as big or better than any place I've ever seen before. It's just in baseball and the stadium, it holds just under 40,000. But we've heard 15,000 in that place sound like 50. So these people, they know their sports. They love their sports. They're very passionate, and yes, they'll have an extra man there. And believe me, I can't wait to get to the ballpark early today, as I will get in my golf cart and I will drive around to all the tailgates that they do in Kansas City here. They know how to do tailgating better than any place in the world. And I will be stoking the fire, working the people. Who's driving the bus tonight, folks? Who's going to step up and get the big hit? And you know what? When it comes to that, too, guys, the Royals have 9 players, and 8 of them have over 50 RBIs. But they know there's not one guy that's having a monster year, but every single one of them can hurt you. They can't pitch around anybody. That's what makes this team so dangerous, but they've got 8 guys that scored over 50 runs.
Hey, Rex.
So just pass the love around.
When you look at this lineup, I mean, we know John Lester, he's 9-3, 1.84, and 13 career starts against the Royals. He's 3-0, 261 this year against the Royals. I look at Alcides Escobar and the hitter he's become since moving into the leadoff position. And I'll tell you what, I think he might be the guy I'm watching tonight for Kansas City. He could be the guy that sets the table. He could be the guy that really sets the tone for things right out of the gate.
I totally agree with you, Jeff. You've been doing your homework.
I know I have. I'll watch them. We're not just pretty faces. I'll watch the Royals.
You should, and I know you're a baseball fan, man. We go way back, Jeff. So look, I compliment you on that pick because that's my pick. He's not only hit 400 in the last 3 weeks that Nets had in that leadoff spot, but he's hitting close to over 300 against left-handers this year, and he's been extremely aggressive. Those pitchers trying to get strike one, man, he's all over it. He's confident, and he has speed. He has over 30 stolen bases. This guy is a difference maker. And we haven't even talked about his ability as shortstop. He should win, in my opinion, his first Gold Glove. I mean, 162 games he played this year. Started every one of them. And the last time that was done was 07, Jimmy Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy to do. This guy loves baseball. He's an Iron Man, and he is a player. Mm-hmm. So, look, he also can bunt. And like I said, John Lester, you don't like the running game. If the Royals can somehow slow play John Lester, step out of the batter's box, mess up his timing, he don't like that either. You've got to find ways to get into his craw and really make him come up in the zone, and they can get him. Look, I saw this Kansas City Royals just a week ago beat Chris Sale, and not too many teams can claim that. They hit a three-run homer off of him. Actually, they hit two homers off. You know, same thing can happen to John Lester. Now, you mentioned all those glorious numbers. That's great. But he is 2-3 against the Royals away from home, whether it's Fenway Park or in Oakland, Alameda County Coliseum. So he can be beaten, and they know it. And tonight, it's going to happen again, believe it.
Okay, Rex, give me your pick to click for KC tonight on the offensive side of the ball. Pick to click.
Okay, Jeff. Gave you Alcides Escobar. I'm going to give you Lorenzo Cain, center fielder, back third. Lorenzo Cain is going to drive the Royal bus tonight offensively. He's going to knock in not one but two runs, and that's what it's going to be. 2-0. Royals are going to shut them out. James Shields is going 7 strong, or maybe even 6 strong, and then get it to the pin to win. It's over, and it's time to head to SoCal, man, and to take on the Angels, who are going to be threatened a little bit because they handled Oakland very easily this summer, but not the Royals. They're in trouble.
I'll tell you what, I'm going 4-1 Oakland.
That's okay. I like that prediction, too. Although, look, that's all it is. And my prediction's the same. They're just predictions. Nobody, not one person alive in the world, even the greatest expert in the world at baseball, cannot tell you what's going to happen tonight.
That's
your baseball.
That's true. Rex, let me ask you this just very quickly before we let you go. The Athletics have not had a good month of September. How easy is it for a baseball player to flick off the switch and say, all right, whatever happened in the down the stretch in the regular season doesn't matter anymore. We got a playoff game tonight. Can baseball players flick that off?
Absolutely, because some of the guys that have been there, and even if you haven't been here, that once the postseason starts, it's a new season. Brand new season. Wash away whatever happened in the past. It's one and done. Let's see. How's it going to happen? Let's just loosen up. Let's go play our game. But I will tell you that once the team gets down, like Oakland, they're going to say, oh, no, the Royals have the lead. We know how tough they are with the back end of that bullpen. That will be a downer. So it's important the Royals get the early lead. Mm-hmm. Now, the Royals have been playing very good baseball on the road. They played excellent ball, so they're gonna say, hey, look, we've been doing this. We've been playing every game the last 3 weeks the Royals have played have been like one-game playoff. Because when you're in a race like that with the Tigers, whom they could have beaten, if they would have just had a better head-up record, they would have won the Central, but they didn't. The Tigers just handily beat them this year, and that's where it came down to. But, yeah, players can turn that switch on and off. However, you have to have the ability to slow the game down. That's important. And I played in the one-game playoff. Unfortunately, it's the closest I ever got to being in postseason. But in 95, it was the California Angels against the Seattle Mariners, and I was starting at second base for the Angels. Randy Johnson was Seattle's pitcher, unfortunately, for us. Mark Langston did a nice job for us. But I remember slowing everything down. The crowd at the King Dome was deafening. It was like last night's crowd at Arrowhead Stadium.
Rex, we got to scoot here, man. Thanks for doing this. Always fun to talk to you.
Keep having fun, Rex.
All right, Rex, take care. I'll put Rex Hudler down as undecided as to who's going to win tonight between Kansas City and
that's awesome,
Oakland.
Man.
For Rex Hudler, Jonah Carey, and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks so much for joining us today in Baseball Central. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, Athletics, Royals, Wild Card, tonight, Sportsnet Ontario, and 590 The Fan. Don't miss it. Ciao.